Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and this event happens just after Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist and has spent his time of retreat and trial in the wilderness. And he has emerged from that experience to discover what is happening with John, which is not good for John, and to begin his own ministry of preaching and teaching and healing. So let us hear these words together. Now, when Jesus heard that John was arrested, he went to Galilee. He left Nazareth and settled in Capernaum, which lies along the sea in the area of the ancient tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what Isaiah the prophet said, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, alongside the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who lived in the dark have seen a great light. And a light has come upon those who lived in the region and in the shadow of death." And from that time on, Jesus began to announce, "Change your hearts and lives, for the kingdom of heaven is coming." For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. A great light is shining on that region which lived in the shadow of death. What a beautiful image. I was in high school when David Bowie's song Changes came out in 1972. I'm sure I heard it, but I didn't really notice it. I was listening to Loggins and Messina and Carole King and John Denver with a little Allman Brothers thrown in on the side. So now, thanks to our director of music, Mark Haskinen, I have finally fully encountered and read the lyrics to David Bowie's Changes. And I even watched him perform it live on YouTube. The blessings of YouTube. I've always been a late bloomer, but I'm catching up. Changes, turn and face the strain. Changes, don't want to be a richer man. Changes, turn and face the strain. Changes, just gonna have to be a different man. So goes the first refrain. The literature nerd in me would like to analyze the meaning of all the poetry in Bowie's song, but I will spare you. Suffice it to say, the song is about facing change and facing it within ourselves before and along with facing it in culture and in the world we live in. Facing change within to create change without. And there's a bit about the resistance we face from the world when we face into change, when we change ourselves. I think Jesus could have sung along with David Bowie as he faced into ministry and headed out of the solitude of the wilderness into the chaos of society. Don't want to be a richer man. Turn and face the strain. Just going to be a different man. Change. He was getting ready to face off with the powers of empire and establishment as he called God's people to the vision of the kingdom of heaven. Other gospel writers use the phrase the kingdom of God. Matthew, good Jewish Christian that he was, defers to kingdom of heaven because the Holy One's name is too mighty to even pronounce. Either way, Jesus is proclaiming a new vision of God being in the world and with the world. It is at hand. It is near. It's not a place. It's a way of being in God's ways, a way of living, and its time is now. Now, we know from family systems theory that when one person in a system decides to change, to grow up, to mature, to be as healthy as possible, to stop enabling the dis-ease in the family or the community, that resistance occurs. Oddly, the system, the community, resists healthful change at first because before it can spread its healing power throughout the whole system. And I don't know why, because, but that's the way we work as human beings, don't we? Jesus certainly experiences that resistance throughout his ministry. He is proclaiming God's ways to those who have treated God's sovereignty with disdain. John the Baptist has experienced that resistance as he proclaimed Jesus' coming, preaching a new vision of the kingdom of God, and now he has been arrested, and we know he will be executed, and that this is a foreshadowing of what is to come for Jesus. The powers of the world, those who disdain God's ways, do not like change, do they? They like to move comfortably in their habits of greed, oppression, patriarchy, and fear without challenge. Too bad, says Jesus. Those are not the ways of God. There's a new way of justice, compassion, healing, and love. It is God's way, and it is here. Time to change. Too bad, we say as followers of Jesus. Bullying, lying, excluding others, scarcity thinking, greed, these are not the ways of God. Poverty, hunger, homelessness, lack of health care, these are not the ways of God. God's ways are compassion, inclusion of all, abundance, enough resources, food and shelter for all, listening to every voice. Things need to change. And as we proclaim God's ways, we too meet, have met resistance, haven't we? Change. We are weary of change and of proclaiming change in so many ways, and yet it's the very stuff of life. How do we come alongside the changes God is calling us to proclaim in life-giving ways rather than life-draining ways? I recently read Octavia Butler's sci-fi novel, The Parable of the Sower. I suggest it if you haven't read it. She is one of the first, if not the first, Black women sci-fi writers, particularly to win the Nebula Award. It was published in 1993 and set in the years, get this, 2024 to 2027. It is powerful and prophetic. The times are apocalyptic. Climate change and destruction, political upheaval so devastating that people must live in walled communities for protection. There is unchecked violence everywhere. Water is precious and expensive. As the protagonist, a Black teenage young woman, observes civilization crumbling around her, she begins to write verses of observation to stay hopeful. She writes, "All that you touch, you change. All that you change, changes you. The only lasting truth is change. God is change." And she writes, We do not worship God. We perceive and attend God. We learn from God. With forethought and work, we shape God. In the end, we yield to God. We adapt and endure. And God is change. Now, I'm still chewing theologically on that assertion. God is change. Shape God. Yes. And I'm not sure I can or want to sum up God in that one word, change. However, it got me thinking about the changes we are facing in our world here in 2022. Climate change, political upheaval, gun violence, pandemic, scary changes. And my friends, there are miraculous changes at work in our world as well, if we will just look and see. Some are made by human hands, vaccines, all kinds of things. And some are within the very systems of the natural world. So how do we live and work with the changes of our world, proclaiming and manifesting the kingdom of God that Jesus proclaimed? How can we come alongside change so that even if it feels like upheaval, it is life-giving, full of justice and nonviolent truth-telling? Pondering these questions, and since I just asked them, I can kind of feel you all going, yes, and what's the answer? I don't have the answer. The answer lies in... But pondering these questions, spirit-led, as spirit does, in sometimes circuitous routes, to the discovery, to my discovery, of a system of social change work that is vital and happening now in our country. It is called emergent strategy. Emergent strategy has been developed particularly by women and by people of color, as well as by our sisters and brothers in the LGBTQ community. And I think it's time we let those who have been marginalized take the lead in facing change. They have a lot of experience. And I want to learn from them. I am learning from a book called Emergent Strategy, Shaping Change, Changing Worlds, by a woman, Black, LGBTQ. Her name is Adrienne Marie Brown. Brown is a social justice facilitator of 25 plus years. She's a healer, a writer, a doula. And she asks, what can the natural world teach us about how to be humans and how to be humans in a better relationship with each other? What emerges from Brown's question is what she calls emergent strategy, ways of change for our time, ways of change that I believe go hand in hand with the ways of the kingdom of heaven, which is at hand and among us. So indulge me briefly while I explain her work a bit more, because it is this way of change making that I think will be informing my preaching in the months to come. Emergence, says Brown in a podcast interview, is the way complex systems and patterns arise out of relatively simple interactions. Strategy is the ability to adapt to changing conditions while still moving towards our vision of freedom and the future and being in this practice of emergence. Looking at the complex, seeing where it came from, simple patterns and interactions. How do we get in right relationship with change, asks Brown, that allows us to harness and shape things towards community, towards liberation, towards justice? And the thing that grabbed me in this book, which is not heady and philosophical, it's philosophical, but it is poetry in many ways. It is easy to read in many ways, though it makes you think. But what grabbed me is that the strategic practices of change are taken from creation. Example. What if we look at the marvel of communication that happens in flocks of birds, such as, and I love this new word, such as a murmuration of starlings, which can be huge, upwards of over a million birds at a time. I'm not sure I have seen one of these things happen live in the world, but I've seen videos of them. They move, the birds, they move in sync with one another, engaging in clear, consistent communication and exhibiting collective leadership and deep, deep trust. Every bird focuses attention on their seven closest neighbors and thus manage the flock, the large flock cohesiveness and synchronicity. Wow. It's all about relationships, not policy. Or perhaps the policy is in relationships. The kingdom of heaven is at hand and is like a murmuration of starlings. How can we work like that as a church? Or consider a stand of oak trees surviving the fiercest hurricane winds, such as Hurricane Katrina, because their roots are so deep and so intertwined underground for life-giving care for and communication with one another. Or think about the underground mycelial network of mushrooms that not only creates communication, but food for the growing mushrooms above ground, even as it also detoxifies the soil. The kingdom of heaven is relationship like oak trees and mushrooms. So I ask myself, how can we learn emergent strategic systems of change from these miraculous yet ordinary, beautiful relationships of nature so that we can be a better outpost for the realm of God, a better church community, turning to face the strain of change as our friend David Bowie prompts us. Change is within us, upon us. We cannot hide, can we? God has given us the leadership of Jesus' call. Change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven. God gives the spiritual imagination and social justice intelligence of change leaders such as Adrienne Marie Brown, the prophetic imagination of writers like Octavia Butler. The world is at a tipping point, longing for relationship leadership, ripe for the justice of nonviolent change making that works with creation and not against it. God's realm is at hand upon us. We are in it now. I wish I could sum it all up with wonderful suggestions about how we do all of this. However, instead, I leave you with this challenge. Look and see how Spirit is among us, transforming our hearts and lives through relationship and communication for the challenge of the kingdom of heaven. It's already happening here. I've seen it. And then moving further, how can we strengthen our changing community in new and vital ways, such as emergent strategy, so that we can focus on the kingdom of heaven rather than majoring on minor issues that only preoccupy our time with fear and lack of vision? Changes. Turn and face the change, the strain. Changes. Jesus is calling us to be the change we want to see. The kingdom of heaven is coming. Amen.